Even though contemporary worship isn't really their thing, but they knew that, that the technology worked and they could watch and that kind of thing, and they were saying, we are so eager to get back to regular worship and to be able to come in the building and all that kind of thing. And so some of you know, if you're here local, that one of the things that we're doing at Foley United Methodist is renovating our sanctuary, and that's part of our reopening. We believe that we are coming home. Hopefully you've seen information about that in our newsletter, or our letters that have gone out. And I just want to give those of you connected to the church a heads up that tomorrow you're going to get an email from me with a video of some of our friends from the church that will tell you a little bit more information about coming home and what we need to do to get back in the sanctuary. But we are renovating that because we believe COVID is making it possible that we can worship together in our sanctuary. And as great as Easter is, and as great as it to get people back in this room, I feel like the next step in coming home will be getting people worshiping in our sanctuary. So we're excited about that. And the step that we're taking for that. I want to read for us this morning our scripture. It comes from Luke 24. If you have your Bible with you, or your phone or your Bible app, if you're watching at home, you want to open another browser tab there, or pull your phone out. I'm going to read Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. This is the story that we are here to celebrate this morning. I'm reading out of Luke's version, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Let's listen now together for the word of the Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Pray with me, please. God, thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, thank you that you meet us in its proclaiming. And Lord, thank you that as we read this word and reflect on this story, that, Lord, you long to work in us. And so we pray in this moment, come, Holy Spirit, as we reflect on the resurrection, as we reconsider the resurrection this morning, would you be at work among us? Just as we have declared your majesty and your greatness, Lord, we ask that you would move in the depths of our hearts. Lord, we pray for an activation of your spirit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and meet us in these moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in addition to the wonderful, he's going to sneak out, I see him. In addition to the wonderful celebration we're having today, y'all need to know that there is a beloved worship director at Foley United Methodist Church who is going to celebrate a birthday tomorrow. And I'm not going to sell him out completely. I won't tell you how old he is, but it's one of those milestone birthdays. And I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with sporty. I think we might have a winner down here. Pastor Chris, you probably know this already, turning 40, that's one of those birthdays where the doctors begin to kind of give you some advice. Some of you have been through these stages. I turned sporty a few years ago. I put that one astern, as Jimmy Buffett would say. What they say is that when you reach these milestone birthdays, that you should begin to go to the doctor, that you should begin to have your annual checkup. And I don't know about you, and Chris, you probably already know this, but they say that it's wise to do this. And when I turned sporty, I didn't take this advice very well. I did not like this idea that I should have to go to the doctor every year. And I think there were a couple of reasons for it. One, I think part of it is inside, I still feel like I'm 20. And so I'm like, there's nothing wrong. I don't need to do anything. I'm still the same person I used to be. And I think the other other reason that I struggle with this is that I've kind of had this life that's been pretty good health-wise, and so there's a part of me that's like, you know, nothing's going to happen to me, which that's just the kind of you think you're the exception to the rule clause, which that's dumb anywhere to think that it can't happen to you. And so it's taken me a little time, but over time I have finally come to see the wisdom in why doctors recommend that, especially as you get older, that you should begin to do things like an annual checkup, that there is value in that. I mean, think about it. It really, in some ways, is the same as getting your oil changed or balancing your checkbook or changing the batteries in your smoke detector or changing the filters in your air conditioner, because there is just value that can come from periodically stopping and assessing where things are, from periodically stopping and trying to improve things, from periodically coming and reconsidering what's happening. And they say there's all kind of reasons for this. One is that it's preventative maintenance. Is there's this sense of if you can fix something now that you can save yourself headaches in the future. There's things where you can reassess that if there's problems going on or early signs of something, that you can make adjustments then, and that you don't end up dealing with a catastrophic kind of thing down the road because you're able to make more minor tweaks and direction changes and all that kind of things before things get terrible. The truth of what we find in the resurrection plays into the story of the church. The church, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, has created annual checkups, if you will, for us to find these places where we will stop kind of focusing on all kind of other things and come back to places where we can assess and check in and deal with some of the most critical truths and foundation pieces of our faith. I mean, think about it. I mean, we have Easter, we have Christmas, we have Pentecost, we have Advent, we have Lent, but by far the most important one of these days that we deal with where we kind of have an annual checkup is the resurrection. I mean, just think about South Baldwin County or wherever you are, the community that you live in, that 50 weeks a year, you can go to any church in your community and you could find people talking about anything from, you know, kind of crazy outlandish prophecies to whatever teaching to this, to that, to Old Testament stories, to New Testament stories, to ways to live out your faith, to series on this and that and that. But today, all of those churches everywhere are focused on this. All of those churches are taking their annual checkup to come back and reconsider the resurrection because there is value, far greater than you would find going to the doctor's office. There is value for your life, for your faith, for your eternity to reconsider the resurrection and to take a moment to pause and stop and reconsider what it is that is central to our faith, what it is about this event, what it is about the holy mystery of the resurrection, and how it impacts us and leads us in the life that God wants us to know. I mean, when you really think about the resurrection, it was an amazing event. It changes everything. And before the resurrection, Jesus was popular. He had gained a following. There were people who were listening to his teaching. He had healed people. They had seen him raise people from the dead. And they were coming in mass. And as we saw last week, as we talked about Palm Sunday, they all ushered him into Jerusalem, thinking that he would become a king and that he was going to reign. And so there was all this. But if he had not risen from the dead, all of that would have gone by the wayside. There wouldn't have been any great remembering of what he did. He might be a blip on the radar of history. But when he raised from the dead, when he came out of the tomb, it gave authority and validation to everything he did. And all of a sudden, as people began to find the impact of the resurrection and putting faith in him in new ways and pressing into what it meant, and as the message began to spread, the reason that we have a Bible that we can read from is because they began to write it down. They said, we have to write this down. That the impact of what has happened, that the validation of everything he said, that the truth that we find in him changes everything. And so we have to get a record of this so that people can know this and walk with it and that they can live into it too. And really, the events of the day were just an unusual occurrence of all kind of things that seemed both normal and extraordinary at the same time. I mean, on that early morning, not too different from this morning, we were gathered at 6 o'clock in the parking lot this morning for a sunrise service, and as we watched the sun begin to come up, it was easy to put ourselves in that place. to think about those women who did what they may have done many times before. I mean, in some ways, what they went to do was just an average, ordinary task that they had probably done multiple times before. I mean, you would only have to live so long before you would have a friend or a loved one who died on a Friday. And in that world, they would have put bodies in the tomb on Friday afternoon and done everything that they could to prepare that body by the time the sun went down. But in the Jewish world, you did not work on Saturday. It was the Sabbath. They stopped. They rested from sundown on Friday to sun up on Sunday. And so as soon as the sun went down, they stopped. And probably like a construction site, they left their tools. They left everything. They went home. And on that Sunday morning, they were just at the first light of day. They were just coming back to say, how can we get finished what we had started? How can we get this done so that we can go on and we can begin the grieving and mourning process that will come with family and friends? And so early, those women went to the tomb and they were just doing what they had always done. But what seemed to be ordinary turned into extraordinary really quickly. Nobody expected nobody. Nobody expected nobody. And as they made their way and they saw the stone was already rolled back, immediately they began to wrestle with what it was that was going on. And Luke doesn't give us all the details. The version that I read a few minutes ago that someone like John does, he cuts right to the divine significance of this event. He shows us in more bright colors and focus the two divine messengers who were there who simply serve as a role to say, I want to make sure we connect what it is that's happening in this moment to the divine story that is going on that you are being invited to. And so these divine messengers in their dazzling clothing are standing there and these women come and it almost seems comical. If you'll stop and think about what it was that was happening in that moment, it seems comical that the divine messengers would say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? I mean, it seems comical because they're in a cemetery. And had they not been on the floor with their faces to the ground because of the manifestation of the divine presence, they might have laughed and said, we aren't looking for the living. He died on Friday. We're here to finish a job so that we can go home. And then they interject. He is not here. He is risen. And as they begin to wrestle with this, those messengers connect the words of Jesus, what he had taught them, what he had told them before about what was going to happen into this moment right here so that they can understand and begin to embrace the magnitude and significance of this event. The resurrection demands a response. The resurrection demands a response. And what we see as this story goes on is that the rhythm is designed to be that you would come and see. And that would lead into a life of go and tell. That you would come and see, and it would move you to this place of going and telling. But this idea of response, it doesn't happen the way that we may think it should. We think it ought to be automatic. We think it ought to be like a switch flipping. We think it ought to be instantaneous. But as we watch these ladies leave from the tomb, they go and begin to tell people what it is they've encountered. And the responses they get are all across the board. I mean, from people who should have been the people to embrace the words of Jesus, to understand what Jesus was talking about more than anyone else. They should have understood what it was that Jesus was about. They dismissed them as that this is the most ridiculous, idle, nonsense tale that they have ever heard, and they have no interest in believing that there is something more going on in this moment than what they have experienced up until that point. You may know people like that. Then there are others who may kind of partially receive the information. They're curious. They kind of ponder it. They might even investigate it a little bit. They do the come and see part, but they don't get to the point of believing or going and telling or thinking that there's something else to go in that place. For many people, it's a journey to embrace this idea of what the resurrection means, of the magnitude of it. That's why it's good to have an annual checkup. That's why it's good to come back and reconsider the resurrection again. That's why we come back to this place over and over again so that we can stop ourselves and we can assess where we are and what it is. That we can assess, are we in the coming and seeing place? And are we moving to the going and telling place? Is our life being impacted by what it is that happened on that Sunday morning? When you and I go for an annual checkup to our doctor, if they go the way they're designed, they're forgettable. If they go the way they're designed, we block out the couple hours on our calendar, and we go and we get through it, we do the test, and they hook the things up to us, and they take our temperature and the blood and all that kind of stuff. And once it's done, if everything's going the way we hope it will, we get back in our car, and within a day, we forgot that we had that doctor's appointment. It's not even that big a deal. Where the annual checkup begins to be a big deal is when something happens that's unexpected. When all of a sudden you show up and you have a symptom that you haven't been able to explain. And so at the annual checkup, you're finally able to ask, what is it that's going on with this? Or when they run those tests or take your blood or do whatever and they notice something that they hadn't noticed before. Or as they begin to assess how things are going, they're like, you need to make some changes or that kind of thing. Unexpected news has that kind of impact on us that forces us to reconsider in a different way. It forces us to take action in a way that maybe we haven't before. This year, as we come to our annual appointment with the resurrection, our world is expressing and experiencing symptoms that we have never seen before. Author Steve Cuss has said over and over again from about the middle of last year on that 2020 did not create the conditions of your soul, that all the conditions of your soul were already there, that 2020 just exposed them. And so all of the frustration, all of the isolation, all of the anxiety, all of the worry, all of the racism, all of the lack of compassion, all of the independence, all of the worrying and the fear and all of those things that got mired into 2020, none of those were created by 2020. All those things were deep inside of us, and what happened is that 2020, in a perfect combination of COVID and racial inequality and hurricanes and an election and all of that, just ripped the cover off. And what we had normally been able to cover and conceal with busyness and consumerism was immediately exposed in all of our lives. And all of us feel this sense and this urgency to go, we just want to get back to normal. The sooner we can get back to normal, the sooner we can throw away masks, the sooner we can stop talking about vaccine, the sooner we can, pretend that Washington isn't there anymore, the sooner we can do all that, the better. And part of the reason for all that isn't that we don't want to get back to normal, but part of it is that what's happened over the last 12 months has uncovered in our soul some struggle, has uncovered some feelings or some thoughts or some ways of being that we don't know what to do with. And especially for those of us who have been connected to the church, who have called ourselves Christians, what we found when everything was stripped away is that we didn't oftentimes have a lot of faith to live on. That is, if we're really honest, that once we couldn't gather and drink coffee in the church and do things like we did or go to events and that kind of thing, we may have found that there wasn't the substance that we had hoped there would be. And that all the things that we saw the world dealing with, the backbiting and the anger and the resentment and the struggle and the fear and the worry, that our lives look just the exact same. And so for all of us, that's why we need our annual checkup. That's why we need to come back, because what Steve Cuss also says is that 2021 will not be any different unless we do something different. If we keep doing what we've always been doing, we'll keep getting what we've always been getting. And we might be able to cover it back over and numb ourselves again with things like busyness and consumerism. But all of the symptoms that began to express themselves in 2020 will not go away. We'll just cover them up. Unexpected news demands a response. The resurrection demands a response. And so what we find as we come to our checkup this year, as we come to our annual appointment with the resurrection, is that we have a chance to evaluate ourselves and how it is we're responding to the resurrection. Because the truth is, the resurrection changes everything. Now, it's not a magic pill. It isn't this thing that if we'll just hold our eyes just right or turn our head the right way or if we'll just pray hard enough or raise our hands when Kate tells us to raise our hands or all that, that somehow there'll be some magic formula and it's like lining the puzzle pieces up and all of a sudden the lights will beam from heaven and everything will be good. It doesn't work like that. But what the resurrection is a validation and an invitation into the life of Jesus. And what we find in the life of Jesus, what we find in the story of the Gospels and all through the New Testament, is that what Jesus offers us, who he invites us to be, the foundation of what his ministry and message is that he can restore and redeem and repair our souls. And that the symptoms that we have in our lives, that he is the only one who can fix those things. And that the best version of what we can make of ourselves, of our own effort, will not begin to touch the life that we will find in Him. That what we will find is what the text I read last week can be true for you and me. Is that this idea that we can be content in every situation is real. That we can rejoice even when there is dissension within and dissension without. That there's opposition without. That we can find that we can still be full of joy. And all of that comes from evaluating ourselves with the resurrection and pressing in to the way of Jesus. Now, it's easy for us to kind of look at ourselves, and we might kind of want to shame ourselves and go, well, you know, I just hadn't been doing faith right. You know, I stopped going to church, or I didn't really want to watch online. I kind of found online boring, so I didn't look at it very much, and I'm only doing it today on Easter because my family's around and my wife's making me do it. And I am not trying to shame anyone. Jesus doesn't do shame and condemnation, and I'm not doing it either. Because what Jesus offers is an invitation to say, look at the symptoms of your life. Look at the symptoms that have been exposed. And all of us can relate to someone or something we've read or a video we've seen or a picture of someone who in the midst of the world of 2020 has thrived. Who in the midst of the world of 2020, that it seemed like all of the things around them didn't impact them or affect them at all. That they just continue to live with this peace and this calm, with their eyes fixed on the outside, with their gentleness being made known to everyone around them. And there's something about that that says there is joy or wholeness or peace that is still yet available to all of us. And what Jesus offers us and validates through the resurrection is a life of wholeness and completeness that you can't find anywhere else. And so as we come to our annual appointment with the resurrection, as we reconsider the resurrection, we simply reconsider the invitation. And like any good doctor would say to you, don't ignore the symptoms. Just because you can cover them up and make them go away doesn't mean that you have healed the problem. Just because you can ignore them and they don't impact you all the time doesn't mean that the ramifications aren't increasing and growing exponentially. Just because they seem to not be as present when you get more busy or when you buy more things doesn't mean that they're not causing serious damage and causing long-term consequence to your life. I don't think I will ever forget Easter of 2020. You remember last Easter? It was crazy. I've been in ministry, worked at churches for almost 30 years now. And for sure in my ministry life, but in my entire life, I can't remember an Easter, anything like last Easter. Because in ministry world, my Easters have always looked more like today, where I left my house about 5 o'clock this morning. I won't get back till after lunch, and it is a long day by the time 12 o'clock comes. You're hoping to see lots of people from the church. You're engaging with people in the community. And last year, we didn't have any of that. Last year, we were so new in this pandemic thing. We were just figuring it out. And I'll never forget, we sat in this room, no people in here, right here on the floor, and we huddled around John's iPhone. And we shot a service. And after it was over, we all went home. And that was Easter. And I sat on Easter afternoon last year. No Easter have I ever done this. And I fried a turkey in my garage. I've never done something like that on Easter. And I fried this turkey, and I sat there. And I'll never forget, as I sat there by myself, my feet propped up on the cooler, the oil getting hot enough, and I wondered, I was like, what is it that I miss about Easter? And I began to wonder, I was like, is what I miss the pageantry and the tradition? Do I miss the kids in their cute Easter clothes and the people I haven't seen and the flowers and all these exciting things about what makes this day, the music? Is that what I miss? Or do I miss the power of the resurrection? And in this moment, I realized that even though as much as we like the activities of Easter, that the invitation to the reality and the power of the resurrection wasn't missing just because we didn't have those events. And so in whatever way kind of a spiritual moment happens, last year sitting in my garage, I had my checkup. And I decided that as much as I wanted to get back to normal and wanted to have days like today and look forward to days that this room is packed full of people again and that we have multiple services and multiple rooms and all those kind of things, what drove home for me last Easter was the importance of the resurrection and how it changes everything. That's why we need an annual checkup. Because no matter who you are or where you've been, we can always come back and assess what's going on in our life. And if we'll take the steps to assess periodically, it gives us the chance to make changes now that will change our future and pull us away from things that will destroy us. Pray with me, please. God, thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, thank you for the power and the majesty of this day. Lord, thank you for your love that would send your Son, who humbled himself and became a servant, offered his life out of love that we might have access to you. And then through the majesty and the power and the mystery of the resurrection, he opened the door to the fullness of life that you design. And Lord, we just acknowledge right where we are. We just acknowledge right in this moment that we want more of you, that there is more available. Lord, and we take this moment to assess and reflect on where we've been and the story of our own lives. And Lord, we take this moment to assess what we've done with your resurrection, how we've responded in the past. And Lord, we don't want to ignore the symptoms in this moment. So come, Holy Spirit, work in us, meet us where we are, that we might reconsider the resurrection, that we might join you and walk at the life that can come only from you. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I'm going to ask that you stand for our final song. And it was the song that we ended with before Pastor Nolan came up. So you know it. So you're ready. So sing with us.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old is shining. Jesus Christ.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning of worship, Lord. God, we turn our focus to you, and we thank you once again for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the mystery. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Jesus. God, I pray that we will turn our attention to you, Lord, and I pray that we will run to people to tell them about you, God, because you are glorious, and we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, blessings on your week, friends. Happy Easter. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we hope to see you again next week. Bye-bye.